Pastor G to call, I told him that we would pray for revival. You can't have revival unless you pray. And so our church has been praying for the service here, starting tonight, and then for Wednesday night, and then for Thursday night. And we're looking forward to God doing some things. Why do we need revival? Because the church basically is on life support. Now, folks, I'm not here to entertain you, but I'm here to preach God's word. If there's ever a time God's people need to hear the word, it's now. We can't win that lost world until we get right. And I'm including every one of us, preachers, deacons, teachers. We got to get right with God. If there's going to be revival, we're going to have to get right. Now, Pastor Jeter mentioned that, the time that I have on the program is still 8. I'm not a long-winded preacher, but I have a message tonight that will keep you here 2 hours. Now, in the islands, that's how we do it. We just preach the word. And I always tell people that when I first started preaching, I used to preach by the clock, and then after that, I started preaching by the watch, by the clock, and then I preach until the Holy Spirit says stop. And sometimes He says stop at 12 midnight. But no, don't. Now you be at ease. I'm not going to hold you that long. I certainly wasn't going to hold you that long tonight. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, when revival comes. When revival comes. In your Bibles tonight, Nehemiah chapter number 8, if you'll turn there quickly, I'm going to try to read fast, if you listen fast, and that way we can get through. But Nehemiah chapter number 8. I'm reading verse number 1 through verse number 6, verse 8, 10, and 12, and then we'll dig in tonight. Let the church say amen. Amen. If you have Nehemiah chapter 8, reading verse number 1, and the Bible records as follows. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. We have a water gate here in the scriptures long before it came into existence in America. But these folks were unified. All these people were in the street as one man. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. When you see the book of the law of Moses, you're talking about the word of God, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law, the word of God, before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now I'm going to call some names here, and it says when you can pronounce these words, just say Moses. So if I say Moses, you know what I mean, okay? Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood Mattathias, and Ashama, and Ananias, and Urijah, and Helkiah. I'm tempted to say Moses, but we'll continue, okay? Manasseh on the right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Melchiah. I'm doing pretty well, huh? And Hashan and Hashbana, Zachariah and Meshalam. Right. I got through. Amen. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people. For he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse number 8 now. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctively, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Drop down to verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We'll stop there. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak through me now and to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are speaking tonight, when revival comes. Spiritual revival has always begun after prayer, and usually with a small minority of people. Think of the revival down through the ages of church history that have swept nations and even continents. Remember, each revival began in a prayer meeting when few believers dared to band together and to cry out to God for power and for his power to fall upon his people. Church, if there is going to be revival, there must be prayer. Let me say it again. If there is going to be a revival, then there must be prayer. I'll be honest with you tonight. In my 66 years of living, and about 48 years as a Christian, I've only seen, experienced one revival in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. One. Now, I know we have revival services all the time. But you don't see people crying for their sins. Right. You don't see people at the altar now crying over their sins and asking God to forgive them of their sins that they may live a clean life. Or even praying for their city. What has happened to the tears of God's people? I can remember in years gone by where people would be at the altar would be full with God's people praying and crying out to him for revival. You know what revival is? It's a rejuvenation. You can't revive a dead man. A man that is dead, you can't revive him. He is dead. But someone that has fainted, someone that needs rejuvenation and awakening and revitalization and a relaunching is God's people. And so you and I can, listen, if there's ever a time the church needs to be revived, it's now. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost rafter shaking revival, and it can happen. I believe that revival can still happen in America. I really believe it. Now, even as it was a holy day, when we think about this matter, these people here in Nehemiah was in captivity. This is God's people, Israel, and they were compelled to go into slavery in Babylon, and after many years, they became entrepreneurs and began to prosper, and they found themselves home in the land of Babylon and also Assyria. But when the heart of King Artaxerxes, here is a man that is a pagan king, the Spirit of God burdened him to call a rally of just a few people who may be willing to go back to Jerusalem and construct the wall and rebuild the temple. Thank God for always the remnant. God always have a remnant of Christians who will stand for him. I don't care what's going on in America. God always have a remnant. And there always will be a faithful remnant. If God can find those who are willing to pay the price. If we're going to have revival, you got to pay a price. If you're going to walk with God in this day, you're going to have to pay a price to walk with him. You see, it's free to become a Christian. But if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to call for a price. Now, so they came to Nehemiah, and those who will assist Nehemiah, they went to Jerusalem. Now, he had some opposition. Folks, opposition is good at times because you can't, a kite rise with opposition. A kite rise against the wind. And folks, you're going to be opposed. I'm going to be opposed. If we're going to live for Christ in this generation, there's going to be some opposition. Tobias opposed Nehemiah and Sanballat. These men oppose Nehemiah and his crew from rebuilding the wall and the foundation of God. Now it is time for a revival to come. It was on this occasion, church. It was when they went back and rebuilt the wall. When they went to work for God and did what God told them to do, Ezra the scribe was used by our God to bring revival to God's people. It was then. What happened when revival comes to God's people? What happens? Number one, first of all, it affects the preacher. Secondly, it affects the preaching. And third, it affects and impacts the people of God. Number one, if you're taking notes, how revival affects the preacher. You see, it affects the preacher to the point that he immediately recognized the necessity of being scriptural in his presentation. Folks, we got to stick with the book. Changing times. You could see, listen, even in media, even in Christian media, you got to be careful because there's a lot of false teaching and false preaching in our day. And you're going to have to stand with the book. You're going to have to be scriptural. And if revival is going to come, we got to be scriptural. Look at verse number one. The Bible says here in verse number one of Nehemiah 8, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. These folks were in unity. They were consolidated. They were as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring what? The book, the word. They said, listen, bring the word out. We want the word. These people were not there to view artifacts of previous civilization. They were there to hear what? The word of God. The Apostle Paul writing to his protege Timothy, he said, preach the word. He did not say give your opinions of the Bible. He did not say to consider being politically correct, but he said, preach the word. What about the word? Preach the word. Preach this book. Listen, writing to church history at Philippi, Paul says this, holding forth the word of mystery of life. Holding forth. Listen, friend, the word of life. This is what God's people need to hear. And this is what God's people must hear if we're going to experience revival. I don't know about you, but I want revival. I want to see revival in our church. I want to see revival in this church. I want to see revival be amongst God's people. To be revived, to be on fire, to be energized to do the work of ministry. You see, friend, I tell you what, we can get emotional. But listen, when you walk in those streets, is that emotion going to keep you unless you have the book? You see, I don't care how high a man may jump in the church, as long as when he hit the ground, he's walking straight. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day, walking straight for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God I've seen the power of this book. I've seen hard, tough men in probation.
Come on.
Who got saved. Matter of fact, two are preachers in this city right now.
Thank you, Lord.
I've seen the power of this book who have taken drunkards and wife beaters and even murderers.
Come on, preacher.
And saved them and changed their life. But listen, it's going to take God's people who are on fire and who are revived for God to use them as a vessel. The Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers need to be about what God calls us to do. We got preachers today who want to be celebrities. They're all over. And they are flocking to them. And I'm being critical, folks. I'm telling you the truth. They want to be a celebrity. They think they're someone. Listen, all we are is dirt. We are servants of the Lord. We're no celebrity. Revival came to God's people because Ezra was committed to preaching the word of God without compromise. Without compromise. You see, it's important. Ezra, you know what he did? He just read the word. That's all he did. But you see, the hearts of the people was right with God. All he had to do was read it. He just stood and read the book. I think of Jonathan Edwards in the 1800s. He preached a message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Listen, people were, a prince was in the chair, in the pew, the nail print, because he preached with such power and conviction fell. And listen, people were crawling to the aisles to get saved. That can only happen when we, as God's people, are right with God and when the preaching is scriptural. This is how people get saved. That's how I got saved. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If there's going to be revival, it has to be spiritual. It has to be the word. And I'm pretty sure you got saved that way too. Faith coming by hearing. They got to hear it. And folks, we got to give it. We can't be apologetic. We got to give the word of God because they need it. They don't know they need it. They may realize they need it. But you and I know they need the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. But every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God to have revival, we have to have spiritual preaching, authoritative preaching. And this is what God has commanded us. And not suggestion, but he commanded us to preach the word of God. Second, not only was the preaching that Ezra did was scriptural, but he was steadfast. All right. Put it down. He was steadfast. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, and Ezra, the scribe, stood upon a pulpit of wood. Folks, somebody was planning on having preaching that night or that day. Somebody was planning on having some preaching because they build that pulpit. This is what the pulpit is made for. I know that there's those so-called gurus in our day and stuff who think that you ought to be, if you're a preacher, you ought to be rapping and all that foolishness.
Come on, preacher.
You see, and given their philosophy, their idea. Come on. Listen, what happened to the old-fashioned thumping preaching where people are convicted of sin? Where they are convicted. The only way they're going to be convicted, it got to be scriptural and it has to be steadfast. I'm convinced, folks, the church right now is a mission field in America.
Come on, preacher.
People in the churches are lost.
Come on, preacher.
You can quote me on it. I'm not afraid. Lost. Not saved. The church is full of people lost.
Come on, preacher.
Need to be saved. And so they need some preaching from this thing. Not entertainment, but preaching the word of God so they can be convicted of the sin. People could be in church and whole-hopping and doing everything else and still study praising God. Not that God. Not our God. You can't praise him. Matter of fact, it's possible to go to church and never worship. You go through all emotions.
Come on, preacher.
Listen, you got to be right with God. And you can read the book. They're not reading the book. I know they're not reading the book. Because when you read this book and you look at all the preachers and prophets of the day and age, they didn't play around. They preached the book. John the Baptist preached, hey, you got another man's wife. You brought his wife. Ezekiel preached the word of God. My devotion right now, Pastor, is Jeremiah. You better read that book. Boy, God didn't play around. God is, listen, it's a faithful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You better be thankful that God is merciful. With the church of Jesus, you better be thankful he's merciful. You better be thankful there's a remnant. Because the church right now is a mission field. I'm telling you, never seen like this. Never. Never dreamed. Matter of fact, it's worse than we think.
Come on, preacher.
But I'm telling you, it's going to take preaching. And it's going to take steadfast preaching to do it. This is a pulp, and this is where we do business against the devil. Listen, I told people all the time, give me 4 men that love nothing but God. And hate nothing but sin and fight nothing but the devil, and we can turn Chattanooga upside down. Gotta find 4 men. Gotta find 4 men. You see, as long as I have a fist, I'm gonna punch the devil. And as long as I have a foot, I'm gonna kick the devil. And as long as I have teeth, I'm gonna bite the devil. And when I lose all my teeth, I'm gonna gum him to death until I die. I'm gonna gum him to death until I die. You see, there is no give and take from the pulpit, friends. You are giving the devil everything. When you stand, preachers, when we stand in this pulpit, we're giving the devil a fight. We have to preach the word to God's people. When they like it, when they don't like it, whether they come or they don't come. Whether we have one, Noah preached for 120 years. You know who all got saved? 8 people. 8 people. And we are coming down to this same age that Noah.
Preacher.
As it was in the days of the Son of Man, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And it's good to have a crowd, but folks, whether they come or they don't come, I'm going to preach. And I'm not just from the pulpit. Hey, listen, all of us not preachers, but all of us are reachers. And I'm telling you, you better be sharing that word to people, because you're going to have to stand before the God. I'm telling you. I'm accused of all, one thing I want to preach is our salvation. Oh, yeah, that's what I don't know what else. I don't know what else. Nothing else to preach. Nothing to talk about. How in the world are you going to live life here and you're not prepared to meet God? You're not ready to meet God. They need Christ. They're out there. They need Christ. Listen, instead of condemning or continue to curse the darkness, put a light up. Put a light so they can see. So what I'm saying is that it's going to take preaching. It was steadfast. There are all kinds of books out there now how to reach people, how to reach the millenniums and the zenas. I'll tell you how to reach them. Preach the word. Preach. Just preach the word. We need them. We need to be steadfastly preaching God's word. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor and your service is in vain. And I know sometimes you want to get discouraged. I know you do. I know you do. Well, listen, anytime you want to get discouraged, look at the cross. Look at the cross that Jesus Christ was on that cross for you, and he stayed there. He didn't get down. And so what I'm saying, when you get down and you feel like sorry for yourself, look at the cross. We need more preachers who will be steadfast. Turn to God, preachers who will preach against sin. That's what God told his prophets. And there were false prophets saying, everything is okay. Everything is okay. God said this. God told me to tell you. And God said all these things. Listen, you preach the truth, because you're going to have to give an account to God for your messages from the pulpit. Now, we need a preacher that will call our nation back to repentance. We need preaching, or preachers that will afflict the comfort and comfort the afflict.
Come on.
Preachers that will cry aloud and spare none. Preachers who are steadfast and preach the word. Now, thirdly, not only was Ezra preaching, was it scriptural and steadfast, but he was spiritual. Look at verse number 10 a minute. Look at verse Nehemiah 8:10. The Bible says in verse number 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy. And I could stop right there. This is, he says, a holy day. Folks, what has happened to America? This is a holy day. Ezra told them, this day is holy. You know what that means? That means separation.
Come on, preacher.
Holy means separate. That's what it means. To be holy means separate. That you are separate from the world. That you are living a holy life, a life that is that God is pleased with. A holy, it's a holy day, he says. Amen. God commands us to be holy. Commands to be holy. Be holy as I'm holy. You know, look at our land today. Sunday is a regular day like any other day now. Am I right about it? Sunday is just like a regular day. You look at it. People just going about their business, even some Christians. But Sunday, it ought to be a holy. Listen, the Sabbath was holy. God gave the Sabbath. And I'm not saying that you got to keep a Sabbath. I'm not legalistic. But God knows that our body needs rest, the rhythm of our body. And if we think we can avert what God put for the body, we hurt ourselves. Because it's a holy day. And I think the Lord's day is holy. Amen. A time of reflection and a time of rest. And so in our world now, it's turned around. But Ezra said, listen, this is a holy day. Revival, we got to get back to spirituality. Now point number two, and I'm going to move on because of time. Revival, when it comes, it affects the preaching. Look at verse, first the preacher, but now the preaching. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. We're lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's conviction. That's conviction. When revival comes, again, there will be worship. You see, worship is a way of life. You say, when you go to the worship, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Worship is a way of life. Matter of fact, it's a lifestyle. Do you realize that when you do your job unto the Lord, you are worshiping God? You are showing to God the worth that he is, the value that you are putting upon God. The worth. And so worship is very important. And when we are revived, we can worship. Again, we can go through the motions. We can sing. We can have all of the great music and still not worship. Matter of fact, let me be clear with you. If you're a Christian and you're in sin, you can't worship God. Now, you're not going to hear that in some churches, but I'm telling you the truth. Because God is not going to accept it. God is not going to take what you just want to give to him leftover. Would you eat leftover food from someone? How do you want to give God leftover time and all that stuff? God is not going to accept it. Matter of fact, God did not accept Cain's offering. Abel worshiped God because he did what God said to do. So I can come to church all day long, never worship God, because if I've sinned in my life, that's right, you can't worship. Let me say it again. Let me just park here a minute. Because I'm speaking to God's people. God's people. I'm speaking to you. You cannot worship. You go to church all day you want. You're gonna be shocked. Because the Bible says this. Many will in that day will come and say to me, you know who the many are? Not the world. It's church folks. They're going to say to the Lord, many, not a few. Many going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we not done all these things in your name? The world is not saying that. The world is not doing that. And done many wonderful works. So depart from me. I don't even know who you are. You don't want to be in that number. And I'm telling you right now, this world have a grip on people so strong. Boy, I tell you, it's so strong on them. And it's like you can't get it off. When was the last time you saw someone saved? When was the last time you led someone to the Lord?
Come on, preacher.
I had a family last week, matter of fact, who made a profession. The whole family got to start working with them. But listen, when was the last time the world got a grip on them? But we know the only thing that could break it is God's word. God's word. This is conviction. You see, they were able to worship God because revival had come to these people in Jerusalem. Now let me hurry on. Secondly, there will be contrition. Look at verse number 9. Nehemiah, which is, verse 9, Nehemiah, which is with Tarsus and Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levites, that taught the people, said unto all the people, this is a holy day unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. There was contrition, folks. They were sorry for their sins. They were broken. It was evident that they were broken over their sins. Where are the Christians who are weeping over the opioid epidemic in America? Over 100 people every day in America die because of this epidemic. The 30 plus million abortions in our country. Where are we at? Are we weeping? Are we numb to this thing? Have we gotten conditioned? People want preaching. They're going to make them feel good in our day. Feel good preaching. It's out there. That's how they want. Feel good preaching. I'm experiencing that a lot now in funerals. I do funerals because you know our style. Funerals now, I see preachers look at me kind of strange and people. It doesn't bother me because I'm going to preach this book. And matter of fact, all good work. I'm sorry for the deceased. I love the deceased and I'll say some things, but listen, I'm preaching Jesus. And I'm going to preach straight living because I'm preaching. They're going to have to answer to God. But I'm going to do my part because I realize I don't want nobody blood on my hand. So I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. So I'm saying to you that there was contrition and people will get saved. I've told our church all the time, People come and go. But I'm going to knock on doors. Because if I want to get into your house tonight at 12 midnight, all I got to do is keep knocking. Eventually you're going to come and say, what do you want? And somebody's going to get saved if the gospel is going forward. As long as Jesus broke bread. As long as he took those few loaves and he broke it, he was able to feed. But if he had stopped breaking bread, 5,000 people couldn't be fed. As long as we break this bread for people. Now I've said before, listen, I don't mind a man argue the Bible, but if he'll talk with me, listen, I know the book could do the job. I ain't got to convince a man that a tiger is bad in a cage. Just open the cage. Just give the book. The book will prove itself to the person. And I know that as long as we are breaking bread, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to hear the gospel. Somebody's going to be converted by the word of God. Folks, listen, I got to go to point three quickly because of time. And then we're going to close. And the pastor behind me is saying yes, so that means it's time. Last point, how revival affects the people. Look at verse number 3, and we close him. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. Listen to this now. From morning until midday. Listen, Ezra got up before the congregation and read the Bible, the book of the law, from that morning until 12 o'clock. Can you imagine? That tells me these people were hungry. They were hungry for God's word. Let me ask you, are you hungry for God's word? Are you hungry for God's word? Are you hungry to the point where you want to let God's word be internalized in your life? These people were listening to the word of God preaching. People in our country, they want church to be out. Clock watches now. Listen, pastor's going too long. And if you go 5 minutes past the time, deacons are in your face trying to fire you. Can you imagine? But listen, these people, that's where I'm saying we need revival. Because these people stood there and heard the word of God. For hours, I heard of a preacher who was holding a conference, and they were holding this like a revival. They had two speakers that night, and so this preacher got to preaching, and he was preaching, and then people start leaving. And then he continued to preach, and more people left. And when he looked up after preaching, there was one man sitting there, and he said, "Sir, how is it that all these people left and you are here?" He said, "I'm the second speaker. I'm the second speaker." But that's not going to happen in America. Not in America. Matter of fact, I'm sure if I preach too long here, you're going home. So what I'm saying, listen, these people were hungry for the word of God. Folks, it's even hard to get people in Sunday school right now. In our churches. And let me tell you, I tell people all the time, when 9:45 come, Jesus walk into the door. You mean you're going to let Jesus be in the church and you outside coming in late? You mean you're going to do that? I mean, you're going to treat your God that way? But it's people, and people, listen, churches right now, I can tell you right now, lost churches, listen, an inch of knowledge and they are mile long with people. No knowledge of the book. So how you know that? Lifestyle. Amen. They walk. They talk. Listen, if your faith don't change your behavior, change your faith.
All right. All right.
Because this book will change your life. I mean, radically. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I got to close right now. When revival comes, you're going to give up your pride. When revival comes, you're going to give up your apathy. When revival comes, you're going to give up unforgiving spirit. When revival comes, you're going to give up selfishness. You're going to give up giving God leftover time. You're going to stop robbing God. You'll give him his tithe. It won't mean a problem to give God a tithe because, matter of fact, God commands a tithe because the tithe belongs to the Lord. And what he's trying to remind us of this is that it all belongs to him because we forget that. You're going to give up your fornication. You're not going to hear that in a lot of pulpits. Hear it tonight. Fornication is rampant in the church. You're going to give up pornography. You're going to give up adultery. You're going to give up lusting. If there is to be revival, there must be prayer. When revival comes, is the message tonight.